Old Path, where the good way is. Timeless truth from the Bible, Christian teaching, thought and meditations from prior times, read by missionary to Africa, James Robinet.
From The Work of the Holy Spirit by Abraham Cooper, The Hardening Operation of Love. Being grieved for the hardness of their heart, Mark 3, verse 5. Love may also be reversed. Failing to cherish, to uplift, and to enrich, it consumes and destroys. This is a mystery which man cannot fathom. It belongs to the unsearchable depths of the divine being, of which we do not wish to know more than has been revealed. But this does not alter the fact. No creature can exclude itself from the divine control. No man can say that he has nothing to do with God, that he or any other creature exists independent of God, for God upholds, bears, and carries him from moment to moment, giving him life and power and all his faculties. Even Satan is not self-existing. If it pleased God to discontinue his existence, he would cease from being. Satan and all his demons and all flesh live and move and have their being in God. This apostolic word does not signify an intimate acquaintance with the secret of the Lord, but is merely the clear and sober statement of every creature's essential relation to the Creator. Whether sinner or saint, angel in heaven or demon in hell, even plant or animal, each lives, moves, and exists in God. Hence, to withdraw oneself from God is utterly impossible. Psalm 139 is not merely a sketch of the divine omnipresence, but much more, in holy sense, a testimony and confession from the very root of man's being, of the creature's absolute inability to withdraw himself from God's active control. The misery of the lost in hell consists in the fact that in their unholy and wicked hearts they are subject to the active divine control. The cry which once escaped from moaning lips, "Let me go alone before I go hence," Job 20 verse 21, is the presentment of the unavoidable control of God, which overwhelms the ungodly as a calamitous flood. If God would let them alone, there would be no hell and no misery. The unquenchable fire would be quenched, and the worm would die, but he does not let them alone. He continues his hold upon them, and this causes the eternal pain and overwhelms them with destruction and condemnation forever. It is represented sometimes as though God's material dealings were to be continued with every man, whether good or evil, while his spiritual dealings are confined to the elect. But this is a mistake. It is true, his sun rises upon the good and the evil, and his rain comes down upon the just and the unjust, but the same is true spiritually. There is this difference, however, that while the just and unjust are both profited by the rain and sunshine, the radiation of the sun of righteousness and the rain of grace result in blessing for the elect and in destruction for the lost. This is clearly illustrated by the effects of the rays of the sun in nature. In March, they melt the snow and warm and fertilize the soil, while in August, they harden the field and scorch its fruit. This is caused by the field's too close proximity to the sun in summer, while in spring it occupies the right position in relation to the sun. And this applies to the sun of righteousness. Standing in the proper position regarding that sun, one feels its fostering and fertilizing effects, but forsaking that position through self-exaltation, aspiring to loftier heights, he discovers immediately that the sun of righteousness no longer can bless him, but must consume him with divine fire.